Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. The purpose of jihad is i'la'u kalimatillah. I'la'u kalimatillah means the law and the system of Allah Ta'ala should prevail. So, and this requires an effort at three levels. But we said the law of Allah Ta'ala must prevail. So that requires that, do you know the law? So learn the law. Because there will be hundreds of situations coming up, and then you say that you want the law of Allah Ta'ala to prevail, then learn the law of Allah Ta'ala. There may be laws pertaining to wuzu, namaz, zakat, your character, your dealings, your socializing, marriage, a minor, a major, a man, a woman, nikah, post nikah, pre nikah. So there are so many laws, then learn the law. Otherwise, one mujahid, he dropped a kafir down. When he dropped him down, he's asking the kafir, recite the kalima. So, kafir says, tell me what's the kalima so I can recite it. So, mujahid, he laughs, mujhe khud aata nahi. I don't know it myself. So, in order to do the jihad, you need to know. So that's the first effort, to learn. Then the second requirement is, then after you've learned the concepts and you've learned all the details, now learn and bring the amal into your life. You learn the law, now learn the amal. So the amal is so important. Say for example, if there is a talk by the director of F&B, right? He's going to speak on interest here. So, will people get impressed with this talk? Why? Because he knows the concept, but it's not in his life. When it's not in his life, then you're not going to be affected. So if you are giving a da'wat, then the da'wat must be tam. رَبَّ هَذِهِ الدَّعْوَةِ تَامَّ. A complete da'wat, a perfect da'wat. So the first level is understand what it is, get the understanding, give the knowledge. And then the second effort is then perfect it, get that into your life. If you're talking of something, then is it in your life? You see now, women must observe parda. But your women are not observing parda. So is that going to have any effect? No effect. It's, you know, the Islam is just in word, it's not supposed to be practiced. So you get orators and you can shake the crowd, you know? So now you are building a madrasa or a masjid, an orator now. And the orator is giving a bayan to the masturat, why they need to put up a masjid. So the purpose of the bayan is obvious. What is the purpose? To get some funds to get the masjid built or completed. That's the whole idea. And who's the audience? The audience are women. So that it's extolling the virtues of building a masjid. Man bana lillahi masjidan, bana Allahu lahu baytan fil jannah. Build a house for Allah Ta'ala, Allah Ta'ala will build a house for you in Jannah. Going on, the importance of a masjid. a person that you see the person frequenting a masjid, then be a witness to his imam. That person is the guest of Allah Ta'ala coming to the masjid. That person is safe, he's got an indemnity from Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. So who this is for the person that comes to the masjid? How is going on? Then he says, but the women are so unfortunate, you know, so unfortunate. Huge masses of blessings they descend, but they cannot participate, not in a jamaat, not in jihad, not in juma, not in janaza. So they get left out of all these things. So now, see the oratory style is such, you got the woman already emotional, and you can hear now they're crying. Because now, the orator, he peaks up, see. When he peaks, then at that point, then he strikes. See. To bring the crowd to a certain point, I mean, at that point now, then he strikes. So he got them emotional, see. But no, I just thought of one idea, you know. One idea I thought of, that how the woman also can join in the salam. It mustn't be only men require the salam. They must also join the salam. His whole idea is what? To get funds. That's how he's talking. This is the one thing I thought of. You see the masjid, the flooring, carpeting, all that has been left. The flooring, and carpeting, etc. All that's left. The walls are up, but the actual namaz, the way it's done, it can't be done on the walls. It's done on the floor. Right? Cut floor, the carpeting, that's where the namaz takes place. So, what an opportunity for the woman that they can do all the flooring, you know? And then, when the malaika will take the report to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala about the masjid, then the malaika will say, the namaz of men, right? The namaz of men, and the jaya namaz, the musallas of women, but what it was? The salat of the men, and the flooring and the musallas, where they touch the ground, you know, where they first touch, that was of women. What a sight it would be, like he kindled some spirit into them. Women resting out the bangles, the rings, necklaces, This type of Islam is not right. This type of Islam is, you've got an agenda, right? And now to work towards your agenda, giving this type of a bayan. And then, these women are gullible, generally they're gullible, and they'll just do it. They can very quickly become emotional and do things. Then they realize, what have you done? One other mullah is giving a bayan about a masjid. The masjid, salah, all that, right? So, the bayan is over. So, he sees his wife after the bayan. And he says, hey, I don't see your jewelry, your ring, your necklace, your bangles, everything all wiped out. No, I gave it out. But there was a collection, you asked for an appeal. And I gave all that away. Stupid thing. That was for others, not for you. So, if you have the knowledge, then have the application as well. If it is just the knowledge minus the application, then it's half a job. And that half a job can't do that. It can't have that effect. See, you got Christians and Jews, they have mastered the sciences of Islam. Some of them, hadith, sometimes tafsir, they have mastered it, right? Now, in spite of them mastering it, they know it, they have that knowledge. Do you invite them to the masjid to give a bayan on Islam? Or if they got the kitabs, masnas and all that, do you use it as a reference? Why? So you got the knowledge, but you didn't apply it. So then you are suspect. That's why they talk about Bernard Shaw, you know. Bernard Shaw, he was like the thinker of the last century. This is the 21st century. And in the 20th century, it was Bernard Shaw. That's what the English world. It doesn't mean the whole world. World means the English world. Like how you can have a Urdu world, you can have a Zulu world, you can have a Swazi world, so English world. It's every circle. So he was the thinker of that last century. So he used to say that Islam is the best religion, but the Muslim is the worst person. That's what he used to say. So we're not supposed to be affected with this type of statements. Right? Why we're not supposed to be affected with this type of statements is because these type of statements have got some agendas. And if you don't understand the agenda, you can become a victim. So the simple question that you ask Mr. Shaw, right, ask him, yes, you say that Islam is the best religion, but why did you accept it? Why didn't you accept it? So, see, the one side is the knowledge, and the second side is the application. So he made the statement, why he made the question. You understand what's the agenda. The agenda is this, that you see, you give a bribe in a different way. Sometimes in wealth, sometimes in position, sometimes in words. So different ways you give a bribery. You know, I go to Mawlana Musa, for the Madrasa of Nasheed. I want some help. I want to sink a hole, you know. So now, I use an approach. So I know that borehole is going to cost about 100,000, complete job, you know. But now, I want to get it done. So there's different ways that you approach it. I don't have the money. Now, you know, I had so much about you. I had a dream about you, you know. You're the bazook of the time. What a person you are. I saw you in Jannat, you know, for your providing water at a time of crisis. You know. Now I say, well, can't you organize something for us? So that first statement, all it bears was what? It was like a bribery. It was a bribery for you to get on. So this first statement was a bribery. So this is cheap bribery, it's cheap words. You don't have to. So the English have mastered that, how to bribe the person, but you don't have to, it doesn't cost you anything. To make money, but without spending money. So they make money how? Without spending money. So they master it. So see all this brand names, right? How they make money? So just by name, and you see these brand shops, you know, that you get Spurs, right? So the spur company is collecting a big amount, sometimes 25% of the turnover of the branch. But do they do any work? No work. Absolutely no work. You're going to buy all the stuff from us, from the head office, and you're going to give me 25% turnover. So, but you see the money without putting into any effort. No effort, just to make money. So they learn this whole thing here, how to make money. How? The cheap way, you see. So we're talking of these people here. You know, the first effort is to learn Deen. And after you have learned Deen, the second effort is to become an embodiment of Deen. So you learn the concept, now you got the body. Otherwise it's just in the air. So people will say, yes, Islam is good. In theory, it's very good. But can you show me a practical demo of Deen? Can you show me? So the practical demo that comes to complete it. The one side is the knowledge, and the other side is the practical demo. If you see the life of Rasulullah, If he's talking about being kind and generous, etc., his kindness is such that nobody can reach him. So the Anbiya even poor, right? That wealth. But yet the house was such, it's only dates and water. Only dates and water. So the wealth that came was just going out. So the hearts were like oceans. It's coming, rivers just moving. Coming and going. So million came, then before the night is just going. Another million came before the night is just going. Don't hear the story of Bilal radiallahu anhu, and the wealth came from Bahrain. And then so much of wealth, two or three camel loads all came in. And before two nights and everything, the Muslim can't rest until that is given out. Can't give up. So if he spoke about charitable works, he spoke about kindness, then he was second to none. Nobody could be with him. Ali radiallahu anhu says that that person used to be considered to be, counted to be the bravest in a battlefield who could be on the side of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. So Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was so daring to go and thrust himself right in the middle, right in the middle. So the one that is the bravest only could be with Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Don't you see in Hunain, right? It's just about 12 people left. They came up, Muslims came up with about 10,000, right? Now, when it came to the crunch time, and people retreated, but just approximately 12 people out of Nabi Sassan, and Nabi Sassan unmounted his mount. Can you find that type of daring, that type of bravery? So if you talk about bravery and jihad, you have that, see. So now that makes it complete. You talk of kindness, you find it complete. If you find, you talk about bravery and vigor, striving, then you find it. If you talk about exerting yourself in ibadah, etc., then you hear about the surahs of namaz and how his mubarak feet would crack and would swell up, in the lengthy rakats. Then you find it. So every respect is complete. If you talk about being a man, then the manliness is seen in him. Walakinni asumu wa uftiru, right? Wa anamu wa akumu, right? Wa atazawwaju nikah. Faman raghiba an sunnati falaysa minni. Do you find that? So, to find a complete balance, to find a hermit is easy. Left everything and gone. Everything left. Monasticism I spoke about yesterday, to find that is easy. But to remain within people and then be totally balanced. Akumu wa anamu wa asumu wa uftiru wa atazawwaju nisa, right? Now to find that type of balance, now that's the great thing. Just leave everything right now. On one side, just making ibadah. It's quite an easy thing. But I'm living amongst people. They got taqasas, you got needs. They got needs, right? All type of needs, social needs, bodily needs, financial needs, all that. And then to have a total balanced lifestyle. That is a kamal, that is a perfection. So that was the Wisl Asim, perfect in every respect. Okay, from one dimension, perfect. From another dimension, it's perfect. You talk about tolerance and endurance, see. So in life, the thing that is like most outstanding in a person's life is what's the level of this person's endurance. So you have different type of conditions coming up. But under the halat, under the circumstance, what's the level of endurance? You can hold, but you get shaken up. أن تدخل الجنة ولما جاءتكم مثل الذين خلوا من قبلكم مستهم البأساء والضراء وزلزلوا. مستهم البأساء والضراء وزلزلوا. All adversities, difficulties came the way until they were shaken. what type of adversities have come for them to be shaken. And in all that, the Nabi is still remaining, فَاسْتَقِيمْ كَمَا أُمِرْ, still steady, not shaken, not inclining, not reducing courage and morale. Everything is steady, perfect, normal. So, that is now the style of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. In any circumstance, and he is the man, he is the person. He is the precedent, he is the perfect example, he is the one to copy, he is the one to emulate. Right? Any given situation. Right? I'm showing about endurance, right? An endurance, and what is the level of the endurance of a Nabi? Look at different situations, scenarios, right? Now when you are ruling a state, right? So there will be different situations coming up. Sometimes it's a land and there's a severe crisis, like how you got a crisis in Turkey, right? You ruling, right? And you ruling now, crisis comes to you. As the crisis comes now, then you need to send relief. You're the ruler. So everybody's eyes are towards you. You're the ruler. So now we are struck with a crisis and you do something for us. Sometimes it's famine, sometimes it's drought, sometimes it's sickness, sometimes it's an outbreak of some type of a sickness or disease, right? Something's happened. But it's a crisis now, and now you need to come in and serve. Now at that time, the Baitul Mal doesn't have wealth. The public treasury, nothing. But now there's a crisis situation. Now one Jew in the blue, he says, well, what you want, just take it from me. Whatever you want. Payable when able. That's the condition. Now, there's no due date. This Jew just rocks up one day. Yeah, you people now. So as soon as I'm sitting, all the Sahaba Ikram, Abu Bakr, Umar, all these people are sitting around. You people, Bani Hashim, you're known for procrastinating, not respecting your words. You're owing me so much. And what are you doing? And he's taking off. Well, Umar Raja Singh, he's seen this whole spectacle, and someone that saw Umar, is raging. What level is raging? Like as though the pupil is revolving around the socket. That's the level. And Rasulullah is absolutely calm, composed, not shaken in the least. See, in my understanding, to have that composure can only be possible if a person is deeply attached to Allah Ta'ala, deeply attached to the hereafter, as though the whole picture is before him, and he'll be totally composed. Right? Imagine now, an officer, right? He's the chief officer, right? And he's walking in an area. So they are ordinary people. And they are vicious dogs, right? And they are people with branding with guns, fire, all. Right? So those vicious dogs did everything in this public here. Now, this officer, so what will be his composure? He'll be calm, composed, he'll see those guns, he'll see those dogs, and he'll be totally calm. But the crowd there, will they be calm? They can't maintain it. But he knows, this person, he knows it. They know him, he knows them. So it's normal for him to maintain total composure. So, man that knows Allah Ta'ala so well, he sees the Akhirat so well, he'll be totally calm, absolutely calm, serene. He won't be shaken in the least. But he doesn't have that level that he can't be calm, he can't be composed. Sahaba Kiram are camped, and Nabi Sallam is under one tree perhaps. One person comes in, picks up the sword. Oh Muhammad, who's going to take care of you now? Only the one that knows Allah Ta'ala so well, he can say Allah. He can say it. But that requires, you got that level of understanding of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So you're so totally calm, serene, calm, not shaken in the least. Until that person shivers and the sword drops. He's so calm. Here, this story goes, you know, the Jew story. So Rasulullah is telling them, see, myself and this person were worthy of better advice. You could have told me I should be even more considerate in payment of the loan. I should be even better. And you could advise him that you could be more considerate and gentle in demanding. But now, how you quell the situation? See, what was going on around? And it could have built up into an argument, into a fight, whatever else. But now, how to take control of the whole thing? Now that person has got that level of understanding with Allah Ta'ala, then it's normal for him. It's absolutely normal. Now he's coming to Makkah Mukarrama. Notwithstanding the persecution, the torture, the killing, and the merciless type of treatment, ostracizing them for 3 years, ostracizing, boycotting them for 3 years. The difficulties that they went through, so many people died, right? So, when he's coming to Makkah Mukarrama, and the calmness, the tranquility, right? من دخل بيته فهو آمن. من دخل البيت الكعبة فهو آمن. لا تثريب عليكم اليوم يغفر الله لكم. We're not going to even reproach you. Allah forgive all of you. Who can do this? Now, at that time, you think of all the stories, you know, all the backlog. You did this, and you did this, and you know my dear daughter Zainab, and she miscarried, and then that led to her death. So I can't forget these things here. You will have remnants and thought of all that, and then level of calmness. So that is subject to the type of relationship you have with Allah Ta'ala. What's the relationship? How strong, how powerful that is. Everything falls in place. Everything is calm. The child passed away or is about passing away. And he says, إِنَّ الْقَلْبَ لَمَحْزُونَ أَيْنَيْن أَيْنَانِ تَدْمَعَانِ. Right? وَلَا نَقُولُ إِلَّا مَا يَرْضَى بِهِ رَبُّنَا. We weep, heart is grief, but we in control, our composure is there. We'll only say things to please Allah Ta'ala. So, see the composure, comprehensive, perfect. You're getting a situation of a pious person, child passes away, and he's laughing. And you're getting a situation of a Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, child passes away, he's weeping, heart is grieving, but says only that which is pleasing to Allah Ta'ala. But that's called perfection. So, there's a right to the family of the child, mother and the child. So, he's executing that right. He's showing that I also sympathize with you. I'm in the sympathy with you. Imagine if he's laughing at that time. Then, it's my grieving moment and you're laughing here. So now, I'm sharing in with your sympathy, with your grieving moments, I'm with you. And notwithstanding the relationship with Allah Ta'ala, la naqulu illa ma yarda bihi rabbuna. It only says those words that are pleasing to Allah Ta'ala. So, when you look at Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, then from whichever perspective you're looking, and perfect person. If you talk of ibadat, perfect. The night standing, the fasting, Shaban, the whole month is keeping fasting. If you talk about generosity and kindness, second to none. You can't find, if you talk of bravery and strength, then nobody can equal him. And then you're talking of composure and calmness, then nobody can match. So this is the person Allah appoints as his Nabi. When a person is appointed to do khidmat, then Allah looks at the sifat. What are the sifat? In the Sulah Hudaybiyah, so the story goes about Urwa ibn Mas'ud and Mughira radiallahu anhu just hits him with the butt of the sword. Who's this Mughira? He says something. And before that, he said something, "Oh Muhammad, don't be deceived with these people, because this is a multitude of people from this tribe, that tribe, from all over they're coming. When it's going to come, when it's going to be crunch time, they'll all disappear." So Abu Bakr was very, very upset. Very upset. And he says, "You think we're going to leave him?" And he said something severe. So Urwa says, "Who is this person?" Abu Bakr. He said, "Because Abu Bakr has done a favor to me, therefore I won't say anything in return." Abu Bakr, in his day, he had done me some great favor, so I will not retaliate. Now, the commentators of the hadith, they say, see, one of the reasons why Allah Ta'ala accepted the Arabs to be the companions of the Sahaba of Rasulullah was the level of gratitude they had, nobody else has. See the gratitude. He's an opponent. And he's at a position of strength. Urwa is a position of strength. Abu Bakr is saying something. Then he says, "No, but because lawla yadun alayya, this favor that you have done to me, and I haven't paid you for that. If it was not for that, then I would have retaliated definitely. But now because of a favor that was done to me, and I couldn't yet repay that favor, so I would maintain my silence as a token of appreciation for the favor that you have done." You see this gratitude and not forgetting. So this was one of the reasons why perhaps Allah Ta'ala has chosen the Arabs to be the companions of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. So it's not just that it just took them and make them the companions, but Allah Pak look at the hearts. The heart was so magnificent. أَقَلُّهُمْ تَكَلُّفًا وَأَعْمَقُهُمْ عِلْمًا. The knowledge and understanding is to the depths. And there's no formality in them. Formality. And then you find the same thing in our awliya-i kiram. Same, this sifat, you see the same sifat. So this whole khanqa is for what? To bring about these sifat. We spoke about values, right? And to bring about this type of values into us. Now, we don't have that value, so we're not the perfect model of Islam. A Muslim, you won't say you're not a Muslim, but you're not the perfect model. قَالَتِ الْأَعْرَابُ عَمَنَّا قُلْ لَمْ تُؤْمِنُوا وَلَكِنْ قُولُوا أَسْلَمْنَا. So you don't have لَمَّا يَدْخُلِ الْإِيمَانُ فِي قُلُوبِكُمْ. I think it hasn't entered deep into your heart. If it entered deep into your heart, your behavior would have been totally different. You said it, this conformity. But I can kulu aslamna, there is conformity in your submission. But these values have gone deep, penetrating into your heart. But I can kulu aslamna. So this effort in the khanqa is to bring about the same sifat of the Sahaba kiram. So they refine you, they refine you, keep correcting, and until you become a refined model. Now when you become a very refined model, then few words, but it's a dynamic effect. The effect is dynamic. Words are little, but it is so effective. Otherwise, the kafir today, if you're writing to Islam, And he's saying, so what's the difference between me and you? I'm into interest, and you're interesting. You're changing words around, but we are both on the same page. If I'm into womanizing, then you're doing the same thing. If I'm in the movies, then you're in the movies. If I'm in the fashion, then you're in the fashion. I'm in fraud, then you're in fraud. I'm in the music, then you have music, you just renamed, you renamed it for Rashid and all the rest. But we're all on the same page. So then, what is the need for me to cross over from my creed to your creed? Lose my family, lose my people, lose my culture. Why must I lose it? Because otherwise, I see that there's total similarity. Just if there was a chalk and a cheese difference, then there was a reason for me to cross over. But when we are identical, then what's the reason? So this effort is for that, to bring about the sifats. And that is why Hazrat Ahmad should say, in his bayan, he would say, that when you go back to your room or your cubicle, then you must reflect over the points. Reflect deeply. Think, alright, is this seen in me? Am I on or am I out? Off course, on course? How much am I off and how much am I on? Am I coming, trying? Am I endeavoring to come on the course? I still remain at the point that I am 5 years ago, 10 years ago, and I'm still at the same point. Or am I retrogressing? Many times I have to tell the students in the madrasa, you're coming in, you're pulling in new, you think so much of your ustaz, put his shoes right, sit with other respect, talk in low tone. So you showed a very high level of adab in the beginning. Then when you became a little bit familiar with the environment and the subject and all that, they say, I'm not very far from my teachers. My tutors are there, they're great, but I don't think I'm very far away from them. Then with a small passage of time, like in the third year, fourth year, then you say, no, I think now we are equal. You're equal, you're on par now. Then you come to the end, you know, here is a Mulana, I respect him, he's my Ustad, but he's very backwards. We're far ahead of him. See. So, see that mind. So, how do we need to correct that mind? Discipline that mind, correct it, rectify the thing. When you're rectifying the thing, now it's the right model of Islam that you're showing. When they see you, they see something else. They talk to you, they talk to someone else. When Ismail Shaheed Sahib Rahmatullahi and his armies had gone to the northwest frontier provinces, right? At that time, Islam hadn't reached them yet. So, they were out in jihad already for about 2 years. And the women went clad very well. And the people there are very fair looking, good looking, smart, attractive. But now, people in that area are noticing that they're not getting affected with the woman in the least. Now, women are not dressed well, they're appearing in the shopping areas, all that. But these mujahids are not getting affected. Though they are out of their homes, 2-3 years they are out of their homes. So one person exclaimed, well, I see you people not getting affected. Are you people blind? Aren't you men? You know, we are men and we are not blind. We have the same feelings. Then what's keeping you back? He says, no, Amir always reminds us, قُلْ مِنِينَ يَهُدُّ مِنْ أَبْصَارِ. Lower your gaze. So now these kafirs are seeing that there is a chalk and a cheese difference. Zameen asman ka fark. We behave, we are men and they men. We got the needs, they got the needs. But you see the behavior, what a big difference in the behavior. We are businessmen, they are businessmen. But you see how they conduct themselves in business. The fair dealing, the honest, with a poor person, and how they would deal with a poor person. if it's a person that doesn't know how, he doesn't know about money and how they conduct themselves, the honesty, the beauty, the splendid, the good that they are offering. You know, how beautiful is the approach? So they seem to be totally different. Otherwise, seeing selling second-hand cars, I'm selling second-hand cars also. And how you wheeling and dealing, oh, it's a very good model and all that. And then I bring it to my yard and then see the producing of right, eggs and cake, cakes, and see all the things coming up. Now that person thinks, hey, man, something wrong here. I thought you were so and so Muslim. So now they want to see you. They want to see Islam. When they see you, they want to see Islam. And then you are the demonstration, you are the demo model. If the demo model, they want to see the Islam in you. And when they see the true Islam, then it is just moments before they can accept Islam. But if they don't see it, you humanizing the human, you flirting with them, they're flirting. Your girls are riding around freely, so their girls are riding around freely. Your girls are talking with men freely, they're the same. So we don't find any difference. It's just a costume difference. Your clothing is different, and our clothing is different. Otherwise, in every other respect, we are the same. So this Khanqa is to bring about this realization. And the realization is not through the discourse. After the discourse, then you must think, how far I am off the course, and how much must I come. And then that person is the most fortunate person who thinks, I am being addressed, and how far am I off the course? How far am I off the course? Even his little, don't consider that little to be little. Try, you consider in your own capacity, you consider your weakness, a small weakness, to be a major thing. Like, you know, if you're shooting a target, right? And see, for example, you're just 1 centimeter off, right? From the target. Now, the target is, say, about 1 kilometer away. So as the thing is, the arrow is going, here at the shooting point you are 1 centimeter away. As you there, then how far? Then as you're reaching, maybe 3 meters away, isn't it? You may be 3 or 4 meters away. Now it looks so small here at the beginning. Then it reaches the target, then you're totally off. So this is what we're supposed to be focusing, working on. Where are the weak areas? And what am I doing to correct myself, to bring myself on course? That's why Father Sheikh writes, that person comes on very well who considers his small weaknesses also as serious. He doesn't take it lightly. I went on the street, but why did I have to look at the person or the girl for the second time? The first look was accidental, right? But then why was there the second glance? Such a stupid thing. Ramadan, you do this type of things. Oh, you just finish Ramadan, and straight away now you broke all the piety that you gained. Now you're crying, you're disturbed mentally, asking Allah to ask forgiveness, correcting yourself. That's fikr. Otherwise, you came in and you went, Ramadan came and Ramadan went. It didn't make a difference in your life, in your behavior, in your ways, in your pattern. No change, no difference. So the Shaykh writes, that person benefits who considers the small things, small weakness, as a major thing. لِعُيُوبِ خَيْرُ النَّاسِ مَنْ كَانَ لِعُيُوبِهِ بَصِيرًا. Your weaknesses you're looking. The other one, you made up a story for him. Maybe, if he looked, perhaps there was a reason. Maybe it was his sister that he looked. You know, or it was his auntie, or it was his niece that he looked at. So he must have got a reason for it. So you made up a story for that person. But for yourself, you don't make up stories. Now, if we turn it around and make stories for us, and then start condemning other people, then we turn the whole thing around. Then I say, then can there be any correction? There can't be any correction. So when it's our minor wrong also, we're taking it very serious. Even in our speech, Even if you have escalated, come so high with my speech now, am I careful in my speech, the way I come out? The famous story of Maulana Phulpuri Sahib, rahmatullahi, famous story. Right? So he's got a worker, and he used some inappropriate word. Like how you work, someone is working for you, and he was slightly harsh. So he must have been slightly harsh in his words. Now, these people, they keep taking stock of themselves. You see, and that your progress is proportionate to how much you take stock of yourself. Taking stock, correcting him, taking stock and correcting him. Not only engaging in ibadah, more than engaging in ibadah, how much you take stock of yourself. Taking stock is like, see, you earn the sawab, you earn the goal, right? And now you're preserving it. But if it is a sack, that's holy, a holy sack, what's going to happen? So you're accumulating and it's going away. You're accumulating and it's going away. That's why the ulama kiram are approximately unanimous. They say that more than acquiring more and more nafil ibadat, try and bring up the levels of taqwa. Leaving on taqwa, they say the definition that they give of taqwa is to leave out things that you're not clear about. But things that you're not clear about, you leave it out. Don't you try and experiment in it. You know, there's a difference of opinion, so by this doubt, I'm not clear about this thing yet, I'll just leave it out. I'm not worried about what he's doing, but he's doing it, so why can't I do it? It's not clear, I'm just going to leave it out. And if there's 1% of a problem, if I engage it, I must make tawbah and correct myself. And otherwise, I will not even go near that thing. So he said something that was a little bit inappropriate to his staff, or his staff. Now, these people, they take stock of themselves. And any business can go well if there's some checks and balances. You are the best business, right? But there's absolutely no check and balance. Nobody looking after, no till, no paying in the reception, in the dispatch, nothing happening. That business can flourish, can it work? Can it work? Can't work. So this checks and balance, that's called hisab. Hasibu qabla an tuhasabu. So now, these people, they know it. So they check on themselves. Keep checking. Now, what's happening to us is, we're looking for public comment. What the public have to say about us? Whatever they say, but what are you? Say is a public saying, you know, when you break wind, the whole place becomes like musk, rubber. You have to take it serious. So that's what we are doing. The one, two people have to give a compliment and applaud, and we're getting drunken on that. We know what's in us, the level of sincerity, the level of commitment, we know about it. So now, we don't subject ourselves to their opinion. I'm lacking something, and I need to correct it. I need to correct myself. Am I correcting myself? Am I concerned about it? A person like Abu Bakr, how great he is. But he's telling his tongue, you go straight, you all be safe. You go crooked, you all catch it. He's putting a stone in his mouth. But he just remains silent. Don't talk. Yeah. So high, but then they also keep a check on themselves, monitor on themselves. Don't they? Imagine now, Afdhal al-Bashari bi-tahqiq, Abu Bakr al-Siddiq, right? But then he also sees the need to keep a monitor on himself. So now, you talk about that Abdul Ghani Phulpuri Sahib, rahmatullahi alayhi, right? So now, he's taken stock of his aim, but I told him this word here, he didn't deserve that. It was, you know, a little bit more than what I was supposed to say. Even though it was 1%, it's not right. So now, see that concern after that. rectified and straight away. Not to do or it. We'll wait for Eid day, and then we'll make mu'anaka and say, well, everything maaf. They are like that. Really keeping the books all clear. SARS can come and rock up at any time, isn't it? They got the license to come at any time. Come and check you up there. So, before the day can end, he's found out the details of his address. They'll jump one bus, they'll take a rickshaw, into the, you know, get like a completely down area, like how you get a John Doe somewhere, he's living there. When they look for the person, you know, I use some inappropriate words, so I'm asking for a maaf, and please repeat the words. That person says, I can't do that. Or then at least say that you make maaf. And Mullah put some money in his hand, until he saw the cheer on the face. Cheer now, that means inshallah, it should be cleared up. Now he's seeing in the dream that Rasulullah SAW is on his boat, and while Pulpur is in another boat, and Ali is being told, okay, Mawla Pulpuri's boat, just join it up to our boat. Mawla says, I got up in the morning, and I could still hear the tuck sound, you know, this boat colliding with that, and the tuck sound I could still hear. But now all this is about the hisab. See, you're taking stock of yourself. How am I going wrong in my domestic life, in my public life, in my social life, in my business life, in my children. My children, I'm supposed to be doing talim. Hu anfusakum wa ahlikum nara. Am I doing it regularly? At home, I'm supposed to be doing something. Am I doing it? Why? I'm just thinking about my own piety, just neglecting them totally. Am I doing it? So you're going to check yourself and find too many areas to rectify. Someone used to ask Mr. Bhattar, you know, aap naraz ho gaye, say, maaf karna. He says, naraz ho rahe ke liye mera nafs kaafi hai. If I'm ever upset, I'm upset with myself. I'm so upset of myself, I've got no time to get upset with you. Why I'm not so straight? What levels they have reached, that fine tuning, I'm enough that I must be upset with myself. So I've got no time to be upset with you. How can I be upset with you? Allah Akbar.